everyone is engaged in the business of sense gratification. Just like last night, millions of men went to see the fireworks. The firework as well as the people went to see there, the expenditure was very heavy, I think, total.
You mentioned that with all of the cars going and whatnot, it probably amounted to about $10 million.
Yeah, it's petrol. But what was the purpose? The purpose was little sense gratification. I shall see something illuminated. What was other purpose? No purpose. Simply to satisfy the eyes to see something illuminated. That is one sense. Eyes. Then there are other senses. They also want satisfaction. There are hands, there are legs, there are tongue, eyes, ears, nose. So every one of these senses, they are engaged persons, sense satisfaction. So this is the life. But that sense satisfaction is differently exhibited for different body. Just like this firework, it was intrinsic to the human being. Human being has got a particular type of body, so it is interested to see the firework. But the cats and dogs, they are nothing. They do not know what is firework. Then, while we are interested to see the firework, a hog may be interested to eat stool. If he gets some stool somewhere, he'll be interested than to see the firework. So, because he has got a different body, he is interested differently. We are human beings, we are interested differently. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj rightly said, Deho Yogena Dehinam. The sense gratification varieties according to the varieties of the body. Deho Yogena Dehinam. But this is arranged, this different process of sense gratification is arranged Daiva by the superior arrangement. Daiva. Sukham Indriyakam Vaitya Deha Yogena Dehina Sarvatra Labhate Daiva. By the superior arrangement, everywhere it is available. Either you become Lord Brahma or you become a small ant. The process of sense gratification, arrangement is there. You can come and follow.
Shivapapa, this is Professor Shukla.
Oh.
He has written a very favorable review on your books.
Thank you. Yes, I have seen you. Thank you very much. I'm just explaining the sense gratification, different types of body, differently. So that is arranged by the superior element. सर्वत्र लभ्यते दैवात्, आपको संस्कृत अच्छी तरह से जानते
हैं।
तो इट इज अवेलेबल एवरीवेयर अकॉर्डिंग टू द बॉडी अरेंज। प्रहलाद महाराज से प्रहलाद महाराज न तो प्रयास कर्तव्य, डोंट वेस्ट योर टाइम फॉर दैट पर्पस, न तो प्रयास कर्तव्य, वाई नॉट जत आयु पर simply wasting the duration of valuable duration of life. Jata ayu baya. But practically we see that the whole world is spoiling the life simply for sensuality, especially at the present moment.
तत् प्रयासो न कर्तव्यो जत आयुर्यय परम, जत आयुर्यय परम,
भय मीन सेक्स मैन,
न तथा बिंदते क्षेमं Mukunda Charanambujam. Translation: endeavors merely for sense gratification or material happiness through economic development are not to be performed, for they result only in a loss of time and energy with no actual profit. If one's endeavors are directed towards Krishna consciousness, one can surely attain the spiritual platform of self-realization. There is no such benefit to engaging oneself in economic development.
This is our philosophy, and the whole world is engaged in economic development. So which is better? Here it is said, natat prayasam napartabham. We see, especially in the Western country, they are very busy for economic development. And unless one is engaged, I think that Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan, they question that in India people being fatalist.
This is a hindrance to progress.
Huh?
They said, they questioned, many people think this is a hindrance to progress.
So, what is progress? In India, still in so-called condition, we have got practical experience. If there is some arrangement, sometimes we arrange Hare Krishna festival. Each day, not less than 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 people come. Although this, mostly these foreigners, they are chanting and we are speaking in English, still to hear the kirtan, they come from remote villages. Calcutta, I have seen that is natural tendency of Indians. Bharat Bhumi anyone who has taken birth in India naturally Krishna conscious. By artificial means, they are being suppressed. Just like this Bharatiya Vidyabhavan, they are forced to then, what they have said?
He said that there are many thinkers in India who consider that the Hinduism is fatalistic, and therefore it doesn't encourage people to make material progress.
That economy development.
Yes.
Our acharyas, practically in Indian civilization, there are so many books of knowledge, but there is no recommendation for starting big factory for economic growth. You'll find Vasudev has written so many books, each book so valuable in his country, but still he was condemned. Dharmartha ka moksha. He dealt with this four subject matter, but not bhakti. Therefore Narad Muni chastised him that you have wasted your time simply writing on the subject matter of dharmartha ka moksha, chaturbhata. Then under his instruction he wrote Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam simply for the glories of the Supreme Lord, without any attempt to write anything about dharmartha ka moksha. In the beginning, he introduces, gives introduction to his book, Dharma Prajita Kaita Vata. Atra Srimad Bhagavate, in the Srimad Bhagavate, Dharmartha ka moksha, they are all Kaitavas, cheating. These things are thrown out. Dharma prajita kaitava atra. So this kaitava, Siddhartha Swami gives his commentary, atra mokkavancha paryantam nirastam. The desire for liberation is also rejected. Simply devotional service to the Lord. That is only weakness. So how are this propaganda, Krishna consciousness, is on the basis, it is called Bhagavata. Prahlad Maharaj begins his teaching that this Bhagavata should be imparted from the very beginning of life. Kumaro acharit praka dharman bhagavata. A little difficult subject matter. But this is the only business for human life that people are missing this opportunity. They are being allured by other business. The main business they are forgetting, neglecting, and they are being drawn, their attention is drawn. So many sporting, so many economic development, then other unorthodox drinking, gambling, slaughterhouse, so on, so on. So this is against human civilization. Therefore, if you give us some chance, just as you have given, what is that?
Could I ask a question? I look at this room and my senses are gratified by this room, by that painting, by beautiful flowers, by the chanting of Hare Krishna is pleasing to my ear. And I have to feel that my senses are able to help my spirit, or else there would not be this beauty in this room. But I don't understand very well when sense gratification is helpful and when it is not.
Sense gratification is never helpful. That is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The kamasarna indriya priti. Sense gratification is required as far as as little as possible. Otherwise, not for sense gratification. Just like sleeping. Sleeping is required because this material body requires some rest. But not that we shall sleep 24 hours or 20 hours and enjoy. As in this country sometimes, they enjoy sleeping. But sleeping is wasting time. So long we shall sleep, we cannot do anything good work. That means it should be minimized. You cannot avoid sleeping altogether. That is not possible. But it should be accepted to the minimum extent. That is called tapasya or advancement of spiritual life. Eating, sleeping, sex, and defense. Ahara, nidra, bhaya, maitra. They require, so long we have got this body, we require to eat something, we require to sleep sometime, we require little sense gratification, and we require defense. But it should be minimized, not increased. That is tamasya. In human life, this is possible. This is possible. Nidrahara vihara kadi vidito. One can conquer over these things by practice. The more we minimize this ahara nidra bhaya maitra. This means we are advancing spirituality. It is practice. In my personal life, I don't sleep at night. And nowadays, at most 1 hour. Yeah, but I take rest in the daytime, at least 2 to 3 hours. So it is not that I am sleeping 1 hour, I sleep 3-4 hours total. But in practice, it can be reduced. practice. We see in the life of Goswami, about them, it is said, Nidrahara Biharakadi Vijitau. They conquered over sleeping, eating. If we conquer over eating, then we can conquer over sleeping and other things. If we can control over this tongue, then we can control over the other senses very easily. That is a fact. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung, Tar madhye jivhavati lobhamaya sudurmati, tare jeta kothina samsara. Of all our senses, the tongue is very, very formidable. So, the first thing in spiritual advancement, the first thing is to control the tongue. In the Shastra also it is said, Sevan Mukhehi Jivha Gau Swami Vaspurasa Atasya Krishna Namadi Navabed Graiham Indriya. Our present senses are unable to understand Sri Krishna Namadi, the holy name of the Lord, Adi, beginning from his neck, Nam, then Gun, qualities, then pastimes, then form. The people cannot understand the form of the Lord because they are not practiced to devotion ascent. They are more or less impersonalist. They cannot imagine the God as his form, like us, because they are not seven. Atasya Krishna Namadi. Not to speak of the form, even they cannot understand what is the holy name of the Lord, why they are chanting. What is the benefit? They cannot understand. Atasya Krishna Namadi Nabhave Rayam Indriyai. The present senses cannot appreciate. It has to be purified. That purification begins from the tongue. Sevan Mukhehi Jivhavo. Then God reveals. When we chant the holy name of the Lord, purify. That is bhakti. Bhakti means to become purified. Sarvapathi vinin muktam tatparatena nirmalam. Nirmalam means completely clean of all dirty things. That is bhakti. Sarvapadhi vinimuktam tatparatena nirmalam rishikena rishikesa sevanam bhaktivitra. Bhakti means to engage the senses, purified senses, in the service of the Lord. At the present moment, in conditioned stage, our senses are not purified. Therefore, we are very, very anxious to engage the senses for sense gratification. And when they will be purified, then these senses will be engaged for the service of Rishikesh. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. God's another name is Rishikesh, master of the senses. actually we have got these senses. Suppose the hand is also one of the senses, to touch. We are claiming it is my hand, but it is not my hand. It is Krishna's hand. Krishna has given us to use it. Just like this robe is not my robe. They have given me for my use. Similarly, this body, actually, it is made by Krishna. Vishara sarvabhutanam riddesho arjuna tishtati brahmayam sarvabhutani jantrarubrahani. It is a machine manufactured by the material nature under the order of Krishna. So actually, it is not my body. It is Krishna's body. Krishna has given us. He has given you a particular type of body. He has given me a particular type of body. He has so many. Jantra. Machine. Just like on a machine, motor car, we sit down and travel here and there. So we wanted to travel in a certain way. So it requires a machine. And Krishna has given us this machine, manufactured by material nature. Payadhaksena prakriti suyati sacharatanam. So Krishna is within the core of heart of everyone. He knows what I want. He is giving us facilities. We wanted to enjoy this material world, and he is still giving direction. All right, we want to get this machine, sit down on it, and travel as you like. So we are getting different machines. Sometimes the human body machine, sometimes dog machine, sometimes cat machine, sometimes demigod machine. We are designing all these things. American machine, Indian machine. When you are in Indian machine, you are thinking, I am Indian. My business is to satisfy Indian interest. The Americans are thinking, this is American machine, it should be used for American quality. These are upadhi. Upadhi means designation. Neither I am Indian, nor American, nor cat, nor dog. But as soon as I get a particular type of body, I think that I am cat, I am dog, I am Indian, I am American, I am black, I am white, I am this. This is our position. And people are struggling on this understanding, I am this body. So long we think like that, I am this body, we are no better than cats and dogs. He is also thinking, I am this body. Is it not? What do you think, Mr. Shukla? If I think I am this body, the dog is also thinking I am this body, then where is the difference between the dog and me? What do you think, Mr.? How shall I address you? Man,
vision. Mr. Loomis.
Mr.?
Loomis.
Who?
Loomis.
Loomis.
Loomis. Loomis. Loomis.
What is this spelling? So, what is the difference? If a dog is thinking that I am dog on account of his body, and if I am thinking I am an Indian, on account of this one. Then where is the difference between the dog and he is working under the impression that he is dog, and I am working under the impression I am Indian or American. Then where is the difference? Yesterday you observed this great festival under this impression that I am American. I must observe this independence. Is it not? What was the meaning of this festival? It was interesting to the Americans. Other nations, they are not interested. They are not observing this independence festival. But the Americans are observing. Why? They are under this impression that I am American. This yesterday.
Under the impression of what?
That everyone is thinking that I am American. So, if a human being is thinking I am American, Indian or something like that, and if a dog is thinking I am dog, then where is the difference between the mentality?
Of course, both perhaps are victim of some kind of illusion.
Dark, yes, it is illusion that we are trying to describe. But this is going on. As the dog is thinking, I am dog, the human being is also thinking that I am American, I am Indian.
Then perhaps there is no difference.
No difference. That is described in the Shastra. Jashyatma buddhi kunapi tithatuke. This body is made of, everyone knows what is the composition. The bones, the flesh, the blood, the urine, the stool and so on. So on. This body, what is the composition? This is the composition. So, if I identify with these bones, flesh, blood, muscle, veins, and stool, urine, so that I am a living entity, I am all these bones and flesh and blood.
Is it better to have a human body as a machine to use than a cat's body?
Certainly, in the sense that you can utilize for higher purposes. It's like you have got this human form of body, therefore you are sitting here to hear me. The dog has no such capacity. The dog has got the same legs, hands, arms, mouth, a tongue, and so on, in a different way. But it has no capacity to hear about spiritual advancement of life. Therefore, the human body should be engaged not simply for sense gratification, kāmasya nendriya priti. Find out this verse.
First canto, first one.
Jīvasya tattva jigyāsa. This is the business, tattva jigyāsa. Tattva jigyāsa means to enquire about the absolute truth. That is the only business.
Kamashanendriya pritiya labo jiveta yabhata.
Labo jiveta yabhata. You can satisfy senses as far as it is required to live. That's all. Jiva satata vijnana. The only business is to inquire about the Absolute. Athata brahma vijnana. That is the only business.
For this machine.
Yeah. All other business, subordinate. That is only because you have got this body, material body, requires little rest, little sense gratification, little eating, little sleeping. Don't say, stop it completely. That is not possible. Yuktaharu viharas. As far as it is required, as little as possible. That is spiritual effort. If we make our progressive life engaging, understanding Krishna, instead of devoting in this unnecessary things, and that is real life. That is real human life. The Vedic civilization is that. We find Vyasadeva writing so exalted books. But the life was very simple. People are now, as a modern civilization, people are accustomed only to the comforts of the bone, not for spiritual advantage. That is the defect of modern civilization.
The problem is, no matter what material body you have, the material nature gives you, one of the most predominating features of material life is pain. So I want to address myself to this question, because in Krishna consciousness, we frequently face this problem. You have the pain, like for example, if you do tapasya, it's a pain, because you deprive your body of sense gratification on one level. If you go without sleep, you have to force yourself. If you have sickness, you're mentally disturbed, so many things. The other kind of pain
that
important.
Is being explained, that we don't want to stop living, but minimize it. That is being already explained. If we don't say complete negation, no. Yuktahara vihara. Simply sleep as little as possible. Not that to take, just like in Western countries, they take sleeping as enjoyment. Is it not?
Beauty rest.
Huh?
They call it beauty rest.
Beauty rest?
Yes. In Hawaii we went by a beauty rest mattress store. Yes, what is beauty rest?
Well, not for beauty rest.
There's a kind of pain also when your false egos have been left. When somebody tells you to do something or yells at you or gives you an instruction, we all have this propensity to want to lord it over. And that's being denied. We feel this sense of pain. We feel like something is being rejected from ourselves. And the tendency is to want to be angry. Or to
Therefore, you have to be trained on that proper spiritual muscle. You cannot walk whimsically. Then it will not happen.
Should we always endeavor in spite of pain and try to push ourselves in Krishna consciousness?
There is no pain. It is painful in the beginning, but everything, if you take some medicine, it is bitter. It is painful, but if it helps to cure disease, we must take it. because the medicine is bitter, I will not take it. That is not sense. If you want to cure from the disease, even if the medicine is bitter, you must take it. Tamasa means things we are going to accept maybe not very pleasing, but still we have to do it. That is tamasa. Tapo dibbang putra kaadina suddhita satya. We take bitter medicine just to cure our existence. Similarly, at the present moment, our existence is impure. Therefore, we have to accept birth, death, old age and disease on account of impure existence. Otherwise, we as spirit soul, we are eternal. Na hannate hannamani sarire. So, we are not in eternal existence, we are temporary existence. We have got this body and it will finish. Then we have to accept another body, tathādi āhāntara prāpti. Then again, to live in that body for some time, and again the body is finished. Bhutta bhutya praliyata. This is going on. This is impure state of our existence. So we have to purify it. Therefore, to purify it, tapasya required. Tapo dibbam. Jena suddheta satta. Tapasya required. That tapasya has to be given a lesson. Trenna. Homaro acharit pragya dharman bhagavata. That is brahmachari system. To understand the value of life. These things are lacking in the present civilization. But it is essential. Without this, there is no meaning of human life. Then it is cast and dog's life. Saeva Gokha. Jasyāka buddhi kunapi tithāsute sadhikkalatrādhusibhavuma ijyadhi jatthi sa buddhi salile nakharikichi janesu avignesu sayena gokha. So, just we are trying to save men from this gokharasibhu. That it is not very appealing to the general mass of people. But still, we have seen yesterday that as soon as we chant Hare Krishna, everyone is attracted. Everyone is attracted. We have seen yesterday the drunkard, he was also attracted, and the child was attracted. Great gentleman, he was also attracted. Within the car, the child was dancing, and the drunkard was dancing. Therefore, this is the only means to elevate the modern man to Krishna consciousness. Hare Nama, Hare Nama.
Have the writings of Vidyapati come to your attention? And if they have...
That is very higher, not for ordinary person. Vidyapati's writing is meant for realized souls, not ordinary. Ordinary, they take love affairs between girls and boys. Therefore, it is not for them. Those who are already advanced, liberated, then this love affairs of Krishna and Radha should be discussed.
Is there any plan of bringing those things out, publishing them, his poems and translations?
It is not for ordinary man. Chandidas Vidyapati, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to discuss Jayadev's books, Vidyapati's books, very confidentially amongst a few devotees, not public.
So you think they might be misused? By...
Yes, they are being misused. They take Krishna as divorce. They do not understand. Therefore, the Krishna's lila in the gopis, they are described in the 10th canto. That is also middle of 10th canto. And 9 cantos required to understand Krishna. Beginning Janmadasya-dekaha. So, what is the absolute truth? And these things should be discussed in the beginning. When one is fully convinced that Krishna has nothing to do with this material world, as Shankaracharya say, Narayana Parakam Bhaktyat, Bhaktyat Anna Sambhava, this material world is a production. It has to be purified. Sarvapadhi Vinirvantam Tapparatya. When there is Nirmal, then it is possible. The first process is Nirmala. Savaram Kirtanam Vishmol. Smaranam Padasi. Archanam Vandanam Das. This process is the first one. Not all of a sudden jump over these literatures. There is no. They should be kept reserved for persons who are already liberated. Otherwise it is miserable.
Going back to this sense question, where do you think the scheme of art fits into Krishna conscious life?
Art?
Yes, like painting or music or literature, poetry and things like that. Because the problem is that if one devotes oneself to these things, they are full-time things. They take all your energy and time. And so
devotion means to engage your energy and time for Krishna. Any way you do that, that is utilized. Sarvapadhi means tatparatya. Rishikena rishikesa sevanam. So, if you can serve Krishna by your hand, by painting about Krishna, very sadly. If you chant Hare Krishna, if you hear the chanting, that is also sadly. Savanam Kirtana, Vishnu, about Lord Vishnu, Krishna. That is the beginning. Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure, Anandamaya Vyasa. So these things are producing ananda. If it is in connection with Krishna, then it is sadhus.
Thank you.
Balika, you can take the fruits, cut into pieces and distribute.
This is a clumsy
I'm too fallen to closely follow regular principles and apply myself in that way.
Too fallen to follow regular principles. It's like saying a diseased man is too diseased to take medicine. So it's actually in our own self-interest. We have to become enlightened to understand what our real interest is. Yajna Vai Vishnu. Now we're thinking that our real interest is to gratify the senses. This is perishable. When we come to the understanding of Atma, Aham Brahmasmi, we understand that our real self-interest is to follow these regular principles. As Prabhupada said, in the beginning it may be painful, undoubtedly, because we are for so many lifetimes addicted to sense gratification. But gradually, more and more, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam, the heart becomes cleansed from the dirty misidentification with this gross, subtle material body. Gradually, more and more, it becomes favorable, joyful, pleasing. Krishna says, be happy by this sacrifice. Therefore, the sacrifice must be joy-producing, anandam buddhivardhanam. Simply that because we're presently in disease condition, it may appear to be displeasing. Prabhupada gives the example of someone who has jaundice. In the jaundice state, when you take sugar, it appears very bitter. The perception is very bitter. But everyone knows that sugar is sweet. So in the same way, the regulative principles are naturally painful for someone who is irregular or engaged in bodily identification of life. So gradually it becomes more and more pleasing.
Right.
Does that mean that Krishna consciousness means always struggling to overcome obstacles? Constantly struggling?
What is struggle? Chant Hare Krishna, dance and take prasad. Is it struggle? You don't want to take it, say that. What is struggle? Take prasadam, nice prasadam, is struggle.
No.
You simply take prasadam. You haven't got to struggle. But don't take anything else. Very few dollars.
He's not struggling, Prabhupada.
At all. Well,
he's not struggling.
Rajavidya, Rajavidyam, Pavityam, Paramamidam. Sushi Kham Kottamabha. Anandibha.
Shilpa. The only way back to Godhead is by obtaining the causeless mercy of the spiritual master. So,
how do you sleep? You rest as your spiritual master, you do for me everything, and let me sleep. It is not like that. Krishna, when he advised Arjuna, he never said that, Arjuna, I am your friend, God. I said, do everything, you sleep. You don't fight. Did he say? Yet why? To get Krishna's mercy. Not that my spiritual master's mercy is there to get Krishna. You have to struggle. You have to follow the rules and regulations.
Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Kartum Avyayam. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting, and it is joyfully performed.
So by struggling to overcome our senses, we can please you and obtain your mercy.
Yeah. Yeah, my good.
Yes. Srila Prabhupada mentions in Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto that a yogi is recommended to take foodstuffs half as much as he desires it for the hunger. 1/4 water, 1/4 air, 1/4 foodstuff. Now, is that fully recommended for us in Krishna consciousness society? And if so, how can we implement this? How can we know what's happening?
The basic principle is that, as Prabhupada mentioned earlier in this afternoon's talk, that if you can control the tongue, especially eating habit, and you'll be able to conquer other things such as sleep. Not only sleep, but also overeating produces other problems like sex desire. Vacho vega, manasoko vega, jiva vega, udharo pashta vega. So jiva, the tongue, and the belly, dhara, pashta, genital. One straight line, like this. So there's a correlation. If one overindulges in eating, then it becomes very difficult also to conquer sex desire, which is the main attraction or bondage within this material world, not only for the human being, but for every living entity. So the principle is that if you don't overeat, it will become easier for you to conquer all the senses. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also, the tongue is the most formidable of all the senses. Always lusting after more and more, never satisfied. So we have to become sufficiently enlightened to regulate eating habits. This is done by taking prasadam at regular times. And gradually, intelligently, you can see what you actually require. Not that everyone will require the same amount, just like there's a plate of food, so one person is bigger, one person is smaller. An elephant and an ant, both of them have different quotas. Everyone has a particular quota of prasadam they should take. Gradually, by practice, thoughtfulness, becomes to see what you require. It's common sense. Gita, the different austerities. The austerity of the tongue, the austerity of the mind, the austerity of the body. Described in the 17th chapter. And under austerity of the tongue, of speech, anudvega karam bhakyam satyam priyahitang chayat svadhyaya vyasanam chayiva vanmayang tapa uchyate. Austerity, tapa. Austerity of speech consists in speaking truthfully and beneficially and in avoiding speech that offends. One should also recite the Vedas regularly. So preaching is also control of the tongue. So our philosophy is that control doesn't mean that you stop. It's not possible. that you stop eating, that you stop sleeping, that you stop different activities of going here, going there. But that everything should be done in relationship to Krishna. Then everything will become purified. Rishikesha Rishikena Seva, Bhakti Ruchite. When the senses are engaged for Krishna's satisfaction, then they're no longer, the senses are compared to the sharp teeth of serpents. Serpents' sharp teeth are naturally very dangerous. But when engaged in Krishna's service, these sharp teeth, they're broken. So they can't create any troubles. Although we're using the senses, which are the cause of bondage, these senses employed in Krishna's service, they no longer become a source of bondage, but liberating.
Dutanta indriya kala sattva patali prakhata tavastrayate. Serpent is dangerous, so long he has got the fangs. But he's got fangs,
yes.
If the fang is taken away, then he is no more danger. You may saw the old fang this, but if I am sure that his fangs are taken away, then it is not dangerous. Senses are dangerous, it is compared with the serpent. The Dutanta indriya kala sattva patali. But if you take to Krishna consciousness, that kala sattva prakhata tavastrayate, the fangs are no more existing. Therefore, it is no more dangerous.
Is it true or not true that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said that failure is the pillar of success? And if it is true, what do you mean? What sense was that used?
I don't know exactly if Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada has used this. Failure is the pillar of success. But generally speaking, to paraphrase it, it means that we should learn from our mistakes.
That is success. If we learn our failure and try to rectify it, that is success.
I asked Prabhupada the other day, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, forget the past that sleeps, never the future dream at all. Live with times that are with thee. Progress thee shall call. So I asked Srila Prabhupada, is it possible to forget the past? Srila Prabhupada said, no, that will not be possible. But we can think like this, that I have done so many foolish things and rectify it. Not that we should remain foolish. Then what will be the value of our experience? Just like if a child, if he puts his finger in the fan and it hurts, so then he learns not to do it again. But if he's so dull-headed that again and again he puts his finger in the fan. Basically, our experience from the material world should be dukhalayama shashvatam, that the material world is simply a place of misery. Janma mrityu jaravyati dukha dosha anudarshan, that we should perceive the miseries of birth and death, disease and old age. This should be our experience of the material world. From this we should aspire for real happiness. Brahma Sutra. None.
So this explains also a method of instruction that the man who may see others stealing and see others also put in jail and punished for stealing. And he may have been caught himself and punished for stealing, but yet he goes out and steals again. Is this, like you were saying, sticking his finger in the fan again and again, is this the symptom of the causeless unwillingness to surrender?
It's called durachara, misbehavior. So atonement, according to Shukadeva Goswami, is not simply repenting and saying, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done, but becoming intelligent. Atonement means coming to the platform of real intelligence. That intelligence is that why I'm becoming implicated in this material world in so many ways, which will simply produce more and more suffering for myself. Just like if he steals, he knows he goes to prison. So he knows it beforehand. He's not ignorant of the fact. Innocence is one thing, but he knows that if he steals, he goes to prison. So in the same way, we should become intelligent. We should understand the laws of nature, the laws of God. That's a tato brahma jigyasa, to inquire what is the real nature of things, what is the real nature of Brahma, how Brahma has manifested this material world and how it's going on. And then become intelligent, act for your own self-interest, become Krishna conscious. That the intelligence is the next door neighbor of the soul. Can you explain exactly what that means, Srila Prabhupada? Intelligence is the next door neighbor of the soul.
What is his question?
His question is that the intelligence, sometimes you've gone like this, I see, say that the soul and the intelligence are like that. That the intelligence is very close to the soul.
What is the relationship between the intelligence, Buddhi, and the soul?
Soul is above intelligence. This is the relationship. Intelligence is above the mind, and soul is above the intelligence. Senses, then mind, then intelligence, then soul.
Intelligence is also matter.
Subtle matter.
So when you engage yourself in soul's activities, then gradually your intelligence, mind, senses become spiritualized or original. Then material activities stop. At the present moment, without being spiritually initiated, we are acting on the platform of gross senses. But if we begin our activity from the opposite side, from soul side, then everything becomes spiritual. It will not be question of giving up the senses. No, it has to be purified. Prabhupada means muktam tattva nirmala. Senses, it remains there, it should be purified. At the present moment, on account of material conception of life, everything is polluted with material idea. So when it will be spiritualized, that is perfect. So instead of walking uselessly, if we use our legs for going to the temple, that is spiritualized walking. Instead of going to the cinema, if we go and see deity, that is spiritualized scene. Instead of going to the restaurant, hotel, if we take prasadam, that is spiritualized use of tongue. Instead of talking nonsense, if you talk about Krishna, then it is proper utilization of tongue. In this way we have to practice. Nibbande Krishna Sambandhi, Jukta Vajraka Vuchyati. Somebody is trying to stop sense activity. That is not possible. The sense activity should be cleansed. That is what. Otherwise, how it is said, Rishikena Rishikesa Sevana. If you completely reject your senses, then how you can serve Krishna? It has to be purified. That is devotion. Mana Krishna Padar Vindaya Vachansi Vaikuntha Gunanu Vandana. Mana Krishna Padar Vindaya. Fix up your mind in Krishna. Then your talking will be purified, your walking will be purified, your handling will be purified, your hearing will be purified, everything will be purified. We desire less, but if we simply desire Krishna, sarvapadhi vinirmuktam tatparatena nirmalam, annavilasita sundam jnana karmadara abhritam, our activities are going on the platform of karma and jnana, or little more on yoga, karma, jnana, yoga. So one has to give up all this, karma, jnana. The karmis are working for sense gratification. The jnanis are working for being liberated. The yogis are working for some magical power, astasiddhi. So one has to become free from all these desires. Annamidasa, sunno, annamidasa, sunno. Jnana karma dana. Simply you should be prepared to execute the order of Krishna. That is it. People are trying in defiant way for sense gratification. For me, that grossly they want something for sense gratification. They want nice car, nice house, nice wife, nice, so on, or so many things. That is called me life. Jnani, when they are baffled, they say, Dhamma Satya Jagan Mithya, this endeavors are all mithya. They take sannyas. But after a few days, again they take to this Kundalini's life. So that is also not good. Restlessness. So long you remain Kundalini, Jnani, Yogi, restless. But finally become devotee, they have no such desires. Navilasita sundam. Then you become happy. Simply ready to execute the order of this. It's like Arjuna. Yeah, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, what was his position? His position was, yes, Kariṣṭhe Vajra. Yes. Krishna is now ready, whatever you say. That is all. He did not become a Kormi Jnani Yogi. He simply prepared himself to execute the order of Krishna. Yes, Kariṣṭhe Vajra. Nastha moha sithir labhya tatra sādhād madhusūdhana.
Arjuna uvacha nashto moha smritir labdha tat prasada maya kṛta stithosmi gata sandeha Kariṣṭhe vachanam bhava.
This is what. This is Krishna consciousness. Krishna said, the fight. He hesitated. How can I fight? To kill my grandfather, to kill my teacher, to kill my brother, to my nephew, and so on, so on, so on. What you are advising, Krishna, I cannot do. And therefore, Bhagavad Gita was stopped. And after learning, he says, yes, Kariṣṭhe Vachanam Bhava. You don't care for anyone. He says, why? This is perfect. He remained the same soldier. In the beginning, he was declining to fight. But at the end, he agreed, yes. In the beginning it was no, and when he was perfectly Krishna conscious, it is yes. Yes. The materialist persons, they are accustomed to say no. No God. And when you become yes God, then you are perfect. The Jnanis are no God, the Kurmis are no God, the Yogis are no God, everyone, no God. Only the Bhaktas, yes God, yes. So that is perfect. This morning, some Indian gentleman was talking about the impersonal. What was his question? Some gentleman was asking me question in the morning.
Oh, yes. He's not the matter of interpretation. The one person is interpreting this way and another that way. Some are saying they feel like he fully got
it. Why they should interpret in different way? The question.
What was the question?
Yes. Explain to him.
There was an Indian man there, and he was saying that you are presenting Srila Prabhupada the philosophy very nicely, but there are others who are presenting it in an impersonal way. And they are able, through scripture, to support what they say. Prabhupada, according, no, not according to scripture, they can't actually substantiate that God is impersonal, because Krishna is a person speaking to Arjuna, so where is their question of impersonal? But Prabhupada said, because they are speculating and cheating, that they are interpreting it in some devious manner rather than taking what Krishna says literally, as it is.
Well, I have given some thought to that. I found that whenever you take an impersonal view, it becomes a pure intellectual exercise, devoid of any feeling. And if you bring feeling into that, it becomes personal. And I don't believe that anything can survive
of a feeling. So,
it is in the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said, Bhagavan Uvas. It is never said Brahma Uvas. And the people have no eyes to see. The absolute truth is realized, Brahma iti, Paramatma iti, Bhagavan iti, Sabdhati. But in the Bhagavad Gita, it is never said, Paramatma uvacha, or Brahma uvacha, Bhagavan uvacha. As there, it does not say Krishna uvacha, because Krishna will be taken, misunderstood. So directly said, Sri Bhagavan uvacha. So very impersonal. There is no question of impersonal. Clearly said, Bhagavan, Aham Sarvasya Prabhupada. Bhagavan says, I am everything. So very impersonal. How they can bring in impersonal at all? It is simply dragging the matter. This impersonal has killed India's Vedic culture.
Well, the example is Shankaracharya, who is, of course, one of the...
Shankaracharya, he advised Bhajagovindam Mulamad.
Yes, that's what I'm going to say.
Said, whatever that said, he just...
So on the one hand, he reached the height of that intellectual exercise. Yeah. At the same time, he realized that Bhajagovindam...
No, he is correct in his service. Because his mission was to stop atheism. At that time, India was full of Buddhistic development, atheism. So, his preaching was to stop Buddhism. Therefore, the Buddhists are Shunyavadi. So he said, no, it is not Sunna, there is Brahma. This material world is false, Brahma is. Lord Buddha said everything is false. He said, no, the material world is false, Brahma is false. Brahma Sattva Jagannitya. But he did not give any further information of Brahma. But at last he said, Brahma means Govinda, Mulamate Bhajagovinda.
There's a very nice story about this illusion. That once he was walking and someone who knew that Shankaracharya preached this illusion business was riding on an elephant. So he asked his driver to chase Shankaracharya. And of course he did, and Shankaracharya started running. So this man said, why are you running? Since it is illusion. He said, well, so is my running. He said, so is my running. That's also an illusion. So
But sometimes the impersonalists, they say, Prabhupada, that this Krishna consciousness is just the beginning platform, that after Krishna consciousness, then one can come to impersonal realization. They say that in the scriptures, only Bhagavad Gita and a few scriptures teach about Krishna, but the rest of the Vedas don't even talk about Krishna's name. So therefore, this impersonalism is higher realization that one comes to after bhakti.
Vedas, there are so many names, Krishna's. Krishna says, Vedaishta Sarvai Ahameva Vidyam. If one has not understood Krishna while studying Veda, then he has not studied Veda. It is very confidential. Otherwise, If one has studied Vedas but has not understood Krishna, then his labor is useless. Bhavanam, Janvanam, Ante, Jnanavan, Maam, Kupadva. If one is actually Jnanavan, then he surrenders to Krishna. Sankaracharya says, Bhajabhavindya, Bhajabhavindya. That is the knowledge. So if one says that in the Vedas you don't find Krishna's name, then he has not studied Vedas. Because Krishna says, Vedasya sadvai ahamevadu. The ultimate purpose of studying Vedas means to understand Krishna. If one has not understood Krishna, then samaya vahi deva. He has simply labored for nothing.
Also, there is another aspect of this answer. The Vedic literature, the one that we have today, is not a complete literature. We assume that perhaps some part of the literature has never been copied and was probably lost. So if his name doesn't occur in a certain portion of Vedas, it doesn't mean that the name didn't occur in the Vedas. I mean, this is something that people have been...
But Krishna's name is very confidentially. In the author's Bible there is name. There is... Jiva Goswami has quoted from author's Bible, there is Krishna's name. And this, the best scholar of Vedas, actually, he said, Samagavan San Krishna, Sankaracharya. Then other acharyas, they have supported Krishna's teaching. They say Ramanucharya. In every slope, he has quoted Vedic. Quotation. Every slope. So, one has to learn the real Vedas. Then you will find, yes, Krishna is mentioned Adhyavante cha Madhye cha. Everywhere is Krishna's name. But one must be actually scholar in Vedas. Then you will find, yes, Krishna is mentioned in the beginning, in the middle, and at the end.
And the glorifications of the Rig Veda, Varuna and the Indra, for example, actually glorifications of Krishna?
Everything is glorification of Krishna.
Whenever Krishna is mentioned in the Vedas, he is mentioned as the Supreme. Some people, some scholars say, well, so many other demigods are mentioned far more often than Krishna, but Krishna is mentioned to be the supermost. It says in the Atharva Veda, Yo Brahmanam Vidyate Purvam, Yo Vai Vedam Shchagapi Tishna Krishna. Krishna is the supreme.
Krishna says, Bhakta Parataram Nanya. Either you accept this Krishna statement or you reject it. But he says, Matta Parataram Nanyam. What do you want more?
Well, Prabhupada, if anyone has gone through Gita and if he is still bothered by the historical evidence, I don't think he has read Gita.
Yes.
So we should never really, you know, be bothered by this question of historical...
Therefore, we have concentrated on Gita.
Well,
this moment when I registered this association, So when I wrote Krishna consciousness, some friends said, why don't you write God consciousness? I said, no, Krishna. We are particularly preaching Krishna's teaching. Krishna is God, Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. But even if you think that there is another God, so you may do your business. We are concerned with Krishna. That's all. We cannot allow any interpretation of Krishna. That is our problem. Yes?
There is a Swami Gangeshwaranamiji in the Delhi, and he is well known as Vedas, you know, and he has mentioned in his books, you know, that Krishna's name is Vedas is mentioned. Krishna's name in Vedas is already there, you know.
Yes.
He has clearly
very. Otherwise, how Krishna say, Vedishta Sarbai, Aami Bhavi.
Yes,
Mayavadi says that Vedanta is impersonal, and while Nitya Vedanta is...
They do not know what is Vedanta. Now, from the beginning of Vedanta, Adhata Brahma Jigyasa. Now, try to inquire about the Supreme Absolute Truth, Brahma. The next verse is Janmadvasavataha. Brahma is that from whom everything emerges. So, now, what is that thing from which everything emerges? What is the nature of that thing? That is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is the real explanation of Veda. Brahma Sutra, Vasu. Vasyam Brahma Sutra na Vedartha Parivijitam. The Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedartha Parivijitam. Brahma Sutra sa Vasya. By Vyasdev himself. Vyasdev is the writer of Vedanta Sutra. So, he is writing himself under the instruction of Narada. So, to understand Vedanta, you have to study Bhagavad. He is explaining, Janmatasya, Brahma is the original source of everything. Janmatasya jataha. So what is the nature? Janmatasya jataha, anayat itaratasya, or the